All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at a Supreme Court case, a real interesting one, Edenfield v. Fain. You familiar with this one?
Yeah, definitely. This case, it's, well, you could say it really dives into some murky waters when it comes to commercial speech. You know, like, what are the limits?
Exactly, yeah. Like, could a state just flat out ban CPAs from, you know, directly soliciting clients?
Yeah.
Or does that bump up against the First Amendment?
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Huge. And, you know, thinking about our audience here, law students really wrestling with these concepts. Well, Edenfield v. Fain, this case, it's a landmark decision. You're going to see it come up again and again, especially at the intersection of free speech rights in a commercial context, butting heads with, like, the power of states to regulate different professions. That's a tricky area, one you guys will be grappling with throughout your legal careers.
For sure. And to really get a handle on this case, we've gathered quite a few sources, you know, some podcast commentary. They always have interesting takes. Then there's a case brief. We got to have that for the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we've got a standard legal brief, really digging into the nitty gritty. But we even threw in a perplexity analysis just to spice things up. Look at the more subtle argument.
Yeah, those can be illuminating. It's good to have all these different perspectives.
Absolutely. So today's mission, you could say, is to bring all this together, you know, pull out those key legal principles, the ones that matter, and really get a sense of how this ruling, how it shaped commercial speech, even all these years later, lasting impact.
Right. Looking at the long game.
So first things first, let's rewind a bit. Who is this Scott Fain guy, and what got this whole legal battle started? What set him off?
Okay, so Scott Fain, he was a certified public accountant, a CPA, licensed in Florida. The problem, well, the rule in Florida basically said, CPAs, you can't just go around directly contacting potential clients in person, you know, uninvited. Basically, no cold calling for accountants.
Really? So it's like different states, different rules. That's wild.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, before Fain moved to Florida, he was practicing in New Jersey. And over there, it was, you know, much more relaxed. Direct client contact. Totally fine. So his argument when he got to Florida was basically, look, this ban, it's putting me at a huge disadvantage. It's stopping me from competing fairly, from offering my services. He was saying there are businesses out there who need what I offer and I can't even reach them.
So those lower court rulings, they were in his favor?
Yeah, he actually won those, both the U.S. District Court and the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which, by the way, that's a federal appellate court. It covers up a bunch of those southern states. And they both agreed, said, yeah, Florida, this rule, it's unconstitutional. It's stepping on commercial speech rights. And of course, you know, the state's not going to just let that stand. So, boom, up to the Supreme Court, it goes.
Makes sense, yeah. Huge disagreement there. So now we're at the big stage, the Supreme Court. And those justices, they had some pretty weighty questions to grapple with. What were the main legal issues they had to sort out?
So, two biggies, really. The first one, pretty straightforward. Does Florida's ban on CPAs directly soliciting clients face-to-face, does that violate the First Amendment, the right to commercial speech? And then second, okay, let's say the ban does restrict commercial speech. Can Florida justify it? And for that, you got to look at the Central Hudson Test.
Ah, yes, the Central Hudson Test. That's the framework, right? The thing the court uses to decide if a government regulation, like this ban, if it's actually constitutional when it comes to commercial speech.
Exactly. It's like the checklist.
Okay, so let's break it down. Four parts,
yeah.
Right? Like, what are the prongs of this test?
All right, so prong one, is the speech protected by the First Amendment? This is where you got to look at whether the speech is about something legal, you know, not deceptive or misleading.
Got it. So, like, if the CPA is advertising some shady tax scheme, that's different.
Totally, yeah. Okay, prong two, does the government have a legitimate reason, a substantial interest they're trying to protect with this regulation? Like, what's the problem they're trying to solve?
So in this case, Florida would have to argue that, I don't know, maybe letting CPAs cold call, it leads to fraud or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Okay, prong three, does the regulation actually do what it's supposed to? Does it directly advance that government interest? Is there a clear connection between the rule and the goal?
So it's not enough to just say, well, we think this might prevent fraud. They got to show some real evidence, right?
Right, exactly. And then the fourth prong, this is about making sure the regulation is focused, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it narrowly tailored? The restriction on speech, it can't be broader than it needs to be to achieve that government interest. It's like if you're trying to get rid of a fly, you use a fly swatter, you don't, you know, drop a bomb on it.
Makes sense. So in Edenfield, the court, they agreed that Florida had some legitimate interests, but what tripped them up was that evidence part, right? Showing that the ban actually worked and wasn't overkill.
You got it.
Okay, so Justice Kennedy, he wrote the majority opinion. He acknowledged that Florida had some concerns. They weren't totally off base. What were those specific concerns?
So Florida basically argued that they had a big interest in a few things. Preventing fraud, obviously, making sure CPAs didn't overstep their bounds, that their advice was independent and objective, not influenced by like aggressively chasing new clients, and also protecting potential clients, making sure they weren't being pressured or having their privacy invaded.
Okay, so those sound reasonable on the surface, but the court, they weren't buying it, were they? They basically said, hold on, you haven't actually shown that banning in-person solicitation actually prevents these things from happening.
Right, exactly. They were like, you can't just say it might prevent fraud. You got to prove it.
And this is where it gets interesting. Like the court, they drew a line between CPAs and lawyers. They even brought up that earlier case, Oralic v. Ohio State Bar Association. Now, why bring lawyers into this?
So that Oralic case, that one upheld a ban on lawyers doing in-person solicitation of clients, especially if those clients were like vulnerable, maybe after an accident or something. The thinking there was lawyers, they have this specialized training. They know how to persuade people. So there's a bigger risk they might take advantage of someone who's not thinking clearly.
So they're saying lawyers are just too smooth, basically.
Yeah, kind of. Like they could really pressure someone into signing something they shouldn't.
Okay, so back to Edenfield. The court basically says, look, this logic about lawyers, it doesn't really apply to CPAs. So what's the difference? Why the different treatment?
Well, they pointed out a couple of key things. First, CPAs, they're mostly dealing with businesses. And businesses, they're generally seen as more savvy, more able to handle a sales pitch. You know, it's not like some vulnerable person in a hospital bed being approached by a lawyer. And second, CPAs, they're trained in accounting and finances, not in like the art of persuasion. They're not legal eagles, they're number crunchers. So the court figured the risk of a CPA, you know, coercing someone into doing something they'll regret, it's just much lower.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Justice Kennedy, he really drove this point home in his opinion. He said, and I'm going to quote this because it's so important. He said, the party seeking to uphold a restriction on commercial speech carries the burden of justifying it. Basically, if you want to limit speech, you better have a darn good reason.
Right. No vague fears or hypotheticals. You need proof.
All right. So as with most Supreme Court cases, not everyone agreed. What were the main points in those dissenting and concurring opinions? Always some disagreement, right?
Yeah, of course. So Justice O'Connor, she wrote the dissent, and her main beef was she thought the majority was downplaying the potential harm of letting CPAs solicit clients in person. She thought they were ignoring the similarities to that Oralic case with the lawyers. Her argument was there's still a chance for CPAs to act unethically, to use pressure tactics, and the state has a right to step in and prevent that.
So she was more cautious, basically, about loosening those restrictions.
Right. And then you had Justice Blackmun. He wrote a concurring opinion. Now, he actually agreed with the majority's decision. The Florida ban was unconstitutional. But he used his concurrence to make a broader point about, like, the philosophy behind the First Amendment and how it treats commercial speech.
Okay. What was his take?
So he was worried that the court was treating commercial speech like it was a second-class citizen, you know, less important than other types of speech, like political speech. And he argued that truthful, non-misleading commercial speech deserves stronger protection because, you know, it's vital for people to make informed decisions in the marketplace to have access to that information.
Interesting. So he was using this case to advocate for like a more expansive view of commercial speech rights.
Exactly. He was thinking about the big picture.
So let's zoom out a bit. What are the big implications of Edenfield v. Fain? And for our listeners out there, the future lawyers, what should they really take away from this case? What are the lasting lessons?
Well, first off, Edenfield really raised the bar for states that want to restrict commercial speech. It's not enough to have some vague fears about what might happen. You need hard evidence, a real problem that the restriction directly solves.
So states can't just say, well, we're worried about this, so let's ban it. They got to do their homework.
Exactly. And second, it made it clear that just because something's true for lawyers, like in Oralic, doesn't mean it automatically applies to other professions. You got to look at the specifics. What does the profession do? Who are their clients? What's the potential for harm?
So each profession, it's like a case-by-case basis. You can't just apply a blanket rule.
Right. And this actually opens up some interesting questions. Like, what about other regulated professions, like financial advisors or real estate agents? If they have similar bans on solicitation, could those hold up after Edenfield? It's something to think about, you know, as you analyze legal challenges in the future.
Definitely. It also highlights how much the court values that free flow of information, as long as it's truthful and not misleading. Businesses, they have a right to talk about their services.
Yeah.
And consumers, even business consumers, they have a right to hear about those services.
It's all about informed decision making.
All right, so let's wrap up this deep dive into Edenfield v. Fain. What's the key takeaway here, the bottom line?
The core holding, it's this. States, they can't just throw up a blanket ban on CPAs directly soliciting business clients in person, unless they can show a real risk of harm, like fraud or coercion. And they got to show that the ban actually addresses that specific harm in a way that's focused and doesn't go overboard. Vague concerns, they're not going to cut it. The First Amendment protects commercial speech, and the bar for restricting it is high.
High bar indeed. And to leave you all with one final thought, something to chew on. The court really made a point of distinguishing between different professions, right? So the question is, should the level of First Amendment protection for commercial speech, should it change depending on the profession? Should lawyers have different rules than CPAs, who have different rules than financial advisors? Or should there be one standard for everyone, for all truthful and non-misleading commercial speech, no matter what? It's a tricky question, one that's still shaping the legal landscape today.
Definitely something to ponder.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive, and we'll catch you next time.
See you.